Greetings, aliens. It is me, your one and only host, Miss Ella Sanchez of the of the Nadie Preguntó podcast, because truly no one asked for this podcast whatsoever, but I'm having a blast and I hope you are too. Now, you already know the gist. It's actually Friday instead of Saturday, so I'm quite impressed with how ahead I am with the game right now. But my point, so let's just dive in right into it. If you're new here, hi, welcome, babe. Usually my intros are a lot longer than this. There's a lot more chaos, but today is a little more calm, you know? But if you're new here, hi, welcome, babe. You got lots of homework to do. There is an episode for everyone here. And if there isn't, I know you're lying. So enjoy this one, enjoy the others, because I know you're going to find something you like and relate to. And if you're returning, then hi, babe, welcome back. I hope you got that promotion. I hope that you got that A+. I hope that, I don't know what else is going on in your lives. I'm kind of tired, bro, not going to lie. But anyways, I hope that you got all that you wanted this week. And now that it's Sunday, you can sit back, relax, listen to me and only me. And we're gonna unpack a lot today. So you read the title, we're going to get into it. So without further ado, let's just get into the episode, you know. No more beating around the bush. See y'all on the other side. Well, friends, welcome back. Hello. It's been like half a second, so shout out transitions. It is Friday. It is a Friday night, and the introvert in me is once again not out. And also, I had to be up in the AM very early, so I will have to make this episode short, maybe, if not, go really fast. So today's episode's quite heavy, and only because I am kind of, maybe I'll start doing this every so often, since it is a new season for my podcast. It's season 5 for you bitches that don't know, because I know which one of y'all don't listen to my podcast, okay? I keep tabs, all right? I keep tabs. I'm not saying you have to listen to every single one of them, but at the very least, like, stream it for me. You can put it on mute if you want, okay? Some of us want to leave our jobs, okay? Like, I've never begged, but now I am. I'm no longer asking, so I know which one of y'all don't listen to me. I know. I keep tabs. Trust me. I have eyes everywhere. And so, on a more serious note, though, since it is season 5 of my podcast, I have decided to be like, maybe I should revisit some episodes that I want to talk more about, and or some unfinished thoughts that I never really knew I had. I feel like, you know, people go through phases and all that in their lives, and I feel like who I was in November of 2020 is not the same of like September me. So we're always ever changing. That's who we are as humans, and we have new opinions, new thoughts, we have new ways of living and lifestyles. So it's always good to revisit some things of your life. This is exactly why I have a podcast. This is exactly why. I'm glad that y'all enjoy it. I'm more funny on Twitter, though, but I'm glad y'all enjoy it, but also it's just kind of like a memoir for me, you know? And so since this episode, my first ever episode actually was on the discussion of body dysmorphia, I would like to revisit that today. Only because, and it was a very chaotic episode. There was like so much going on in that episode. So I feel like pulling from that episode, which was also the intro, it was a chaotic episode. And I feel like I should have broken it down a little bit more neatly since it was my very first episode. It was like November 2020. I don't know exactly the day. It was a couple days. It was near Thanksgiving that year. So whatever time that was, I have no concept of time, but enough of me trying to introduce this. Long story short, my first ever episode of this podcast was body dysmorphia. That was the first topic. A little too chaotic, a little unfinished thoughts that I have, and also new updates and how it feels in 2022 me. And yeah, I think that it's enough to revisit, you know? And so the inspiration for this episode is one, just, you know, we as people change in so many different aspects. We change mentalities, we outgrow things, lifestyles and stuff like that, but more importantly, we do change physically a lot throughout the day and throughout life. So currently I, or at least my body dysmorphia is telling me, my stomach looks weird. So shout out to her. She really has put me through the ringer these past few weeks, actually. And I've been feeling that for quite some time. So it's just like something that I feel like I should address, because I feel like a lot of people, maybe you listening don't know what it is, but maybe you do. But regardless, this will be in the point of view as like a woman body dysmorphia point of view. Of course, a lot of men suffer from body dysmorphia as well. So I'm just going to be speaking on what I know. I don't want to speak on behalf of somebody that I don't know, especially a community that I don't know. You know, I don't know the inner workings of that. I don't want to speak on something I don't know. But this is going to be like the women point of view of the body dysmorphia issue at hand. And so I feel like I look different in the mirror these days for quite some time, maybe like a month, I would say. Yeah, I just think that my stomach looks different. At least my body dysmorphia is telling me my stomach looks different than it usually looks like. And I'm going to pass out low key and then pass away. So I have some unfinished thoughts from my first episode ever of body dysmorphia to add on here. And just going through daily life, you know, going through that as we all do. You know, I feel like we all have moments where our body's not looking too right, you know. And in a life of body influencers and fitness influencers and personal trainers left and right, you know, it's like kind of hard to really not feel confident in your body every once in a while. So it's really hard. It's a really hard you know, mentality. So also a disclaimer, because this is a very heavy episode in some aspect, so disclaimer, we will be talking about body dysmorphia, body image, etc. Those are very important things that I should tell you guys now. If that's a trigger for you or something that you don't feel like unpacking today, totally understand, totally respect that as well. But other than that, that's my little disclaimer. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode. So body dysmorphia, for those that don't know, is classified as a disorder. And there is a difference between body image, like negative body image versus body dysmorphia, for like the quick rundown. Body dysmorphia versus negative body image. Body dysmorphia is hyperfixating, attempting to fix, and or going above and beyond, trying to fix something that you perceive is wrong with your personal body. Me personally, I can't describe to you what my stomach looks like, but I can see it in my own eyes, and I know that's body dysmorphia speaking, because if I don't look that way in the mirror and every 50 times I check a day, it's like not looking the same. I panic. I wear a big t-shirt, if anything, so I don't have to like hide it. I wear specific shorts that I feel that if my, you know, stomach hangs out of, I don't feel as constricted. I don't wear biker shorts when that usually happens. I like to wear a looser short and or wear it low waist so I can just have it hang out. And then when I just girly things, really. And yeah, I have a whole method. I really do. Or if I know I'm going to be eating a lot of heavy food, especially when I eat Peruvian food, I know I'm going to go all in. I'm not going to deprive myself of that. I would be really stupid not to, you know. And I always prepare my outfit the day, or like when I get back from picking up the food, I'm like, okay, I'm going to wear these sweatpants, but this big t-shirt, and I'm going to make sure that no one can perceive my body, because I don't even want to perceive my own body. That's how body dysmorphia really feels like in the point of view of me, versus negative body image, where you just don't like your body. That's really it. That's like the simplized version of it. You look in the mirror, but you're like, eh, whatever. This is what I look like, even though you're not super proud of it. But there's a difference. There really is. Hyperfixating versus just being like, eh, I don't look good today in the mirror, you know? It is exhausting. I can't lie to you. It's not fun. And so body dysmorphia, for the first little subtopic today, body dysmorphia versus eating. Spoiler alert, you do have to eat. I remember I would not eat for a long time. When I was in middle school, I didn't really eat too, or I did eat too much, but it was either splurging or a binge eating a lot or not at all. I have attempted to throw out food before, and it's a really negative side of my life. I'm not gonna lie, middle school was probably one of the worst times of my life. Middle school and now, actually, both terrible moments of my life. But regardless though, I have learned to just accept that this is the life that I have, you know. And Actually, I came to a realization, which I will get into later, about working out and eating versus body dysmorphia. They're all really big factors. All three of them, it's like a trifecta. It's like they all have a chokehold on me and I'm getting my ass beat. So there is that. But I notice personally, due to the slight change in, quote, my stomach looking, quote, different, I was, like, this past month, really, I was automatically policing what I was eating. And it's terrifying. I'm not super heavy on policing what I eat, only because I work out a lot, and I kind of just make up for it, you know? But actually, recently, one of my studios closed, and it was, like, really sad for me. But also, I wasn't able to go every week as much as I used to. So I lost one class for myself, one training essentially, out of the two that I have, and it took a toll on my body because I could tell I was gaining more weight. I was, any food I ate, I was gaining it back, you know, and I've been noticing that, like, this last week. I was like, oh my god, what's going on? What has changed and stuff like that. And then I started, you know, dancing at home again and doing, you know, that realm of dance as well at home. Since I do have a little bit of room to do that, I've been just kind of doing it on my own. And I have been seeing a difference, all because of my stomach. Literally, my body dysmorphia said, honestly, your stomach's looking a little bit better now. I'm telling you, body dysmorphia is a fucking illness. I fucking hate it. But I've been policing what I've been eating, and I've been feeling guilty for, like, literally every meal. I went to Miami, like, almost 3 weeks ago, and I ate like it was no one's business. But at the same time, like, when I actually, a lot of my life does tie to working out and eating, so I'm gonna save that for the workout section of this episode. But yeah, spoiler alert, you do have to eat. Like, it's like the most necessary to survive, one, and two, to gain any form of muscle if you are trying to bulk and or trying to get in shape of any kind, whatever that may mean to you personally. But I've never policed myself more. I've never felt more guilt. You know, I feel like I have guilt in any capacity every time I eat certain foods, like dairy. I'm more of a feta cheese kind of girl. I love feta cheese. That shit is so fucking good. It's actually probably the only dairy that isn't so heavy on me. I feel like all the other ones are kind of really intense on my stomachs, except for, like, feta. So I really fuck with feta. Shout out feta. I love you, feta. I love that bitch so much. But regardless, though, policing what I eat is not something I was used to. And ever since I stopped dance in a certain, like, at least part of my training, I was not proud. I was, like, gaining weight easier and faster than ever before. So I'm like, let me bounce back real quick, you know? But regardless, though, moving on to the body dysmorphia versus body image. So according to the blog and treatment center, Discovery Mood and Anxiety Program, Mental Health Treatment, the difference between body dysmorphia, self-esteem, and negative body image, which I kind of talked about a second ago. But according to them, so body dysmorphic disorder, unlike body image disturbance, is when an individual is struggling with an overemphasis on a specific body part, as opposed to someone who is unhappy with his or her body or shape. Body image refers to how people see themselves. Distorted body image, also called negative body image, refers to an unrealistic view of how someone sees... unrealistic view of how someone sees his or her body, while BDD is an obsessive pathological disorder. I can go on and on, but I will link that info below. I was reading it because, like, it was, like, zoomed out, so I was, like, reading it not in the best line-by-line moment, but you get the gist. And so, it's hard, because some days I feel like my body dysmorphia is worse than others. Like, this past month, it has been really bad. And then the month prior to that and the few months before that, it wasn't, only because I was really up to date with my workout schedule and doing the best I can, you know? And we just do what we can, you know? I feel like that's... doing the best you can in life is all you need, really. And so with that being said, that's all I really wanted to talk about, just the difference between them two, because they are very different, and neither of them are... bad things to suffer from. It sucks having it, but at the same time, it's like there's always a solution, but also it feels like there is a never end to it as well. But my main topics, or quote topics of the day for this lovely episode, is one, also body dysmorphia versus femininity. I feel like that's a pretty big one that we need to discuss. We all know it, and we all have feared it at some point, which is okay to admit, you know? But the physical attributes of femininity in the female body is so monitored and so policed, and I feel like we have all feared it at some point. And it's not always easy, it's not always pleasant, and it's hard. It's hard to do it. And so we all know the idolized and, you know, yeah, mainly just idolized beauty standards and features amongst, like, women is always going to be white skin, light eyes, tall and skinny. Like, that's, like, the common default, basically, beauty standard amongst women. However, although we've done a better job and a greater job of shifting away from that mentality and beauty standard, it still is prevalent. Let's not pretend it's fully gone, because it's true. I have seen several modeling agencies that straight up only have white women on their portfolios. Y'all know who you are. I've seen so many photographers in LA, like half of their portfolio on Instagram is just white skinny models. I'm like, good for you, babe. But no, I remember this one, I don't even know how to say his last name, but Sam Dish Curtin, whatever. He has like some weird, really weird, like, last name. I don't know. But at one point, I followed him, and he was really cool. I liked his, you know, his work as a photographer. But I noticed that every time he would post something, I always would see, like, the same-looking white women. And I was like, huh? And so I went on his profile, and I just kept scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, like, literally an infinite scroll. And they were all white models. White women with the same body type, the same facade, same brunette, same blondes. Like, it was basically just white women in different fonts all over. I was like, oh my god, you cannot be serious. And I unfollowed, of course, but I was like, yeah, buddy. And then, like, all of a sudden he started posting, like, other models of color, and I was like, babe, listen, no, like, girl, go to hell. Yeah, I don't follow him anymore. In conclusion, don't. If you see him, you'll know who he is. But, like I said, although we've done a better job at, you know, shifting away from the white women beauty standard, it's still prevalent, it's still real. Like, I cannot tell you how many times I've seen it in modeling agencies worldwide. So, honestly, it's not that shocking, yet it's very frustrating. And it's unfair, it's unjust, and to this day, that beauty standard is held true and very deadly to several other women of color. It's just, it's basically common logic, bro. It's just, like, fucked up. And so, the new beauty standard, though, is still a struggle. And I feel like there's no common ground when it comes to body dysmorphia and femininity, because body dysmorphia versus femininity, they go quite hand in hand with one another, because the new beauty standard is a struggle. And it's currently, like, be thick, but don't be too thick. And you can be big, but not too big. And if you're not a certain type of thick, you're not accepted among society. That's the problem with body dysmorphia and femininity. It's like, yeah, you can be thick because it's in now. It's in now, quote. Yeah, body dysmorphia versus femininity. It's like, oh, okay. Being thick is, like, the new standard. But don't be too thick, though. Because then you're not really pretty, you know? But then again, you know, you can be big, but not too big. So it's not a really common ground. There's, like, no common ground in that. It's like, doesn't make sense to me, really. It's just a big, giant sigh that I can just let out. I'm like, oh, here we go, you know? But femininity and body dysmorphia do go hand in hand with one another to an extent, because femininity is associated with a well-kept woman. You know, her body weight is right, her body is in shape, she is in her best form, she's groomed well, she's always up to date with herself. And however, when a woman is seen to be bigger and, quote, not socially acceptable amongst other women or just people, she is tossed out. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't pretend you don't, you know. And if a big woman's weight isn't, quote, evenly distributed among her body, she's seen as not fit or too big, which isn't bad, you know. I don't know why people say that being big is a bad thing. I don't know why people make it like a big taboo word. It's like, no, being big is not terrible. It's not a slur. It's not something that you should fear, you know, but regardless, that's the way it is. I really wish I could explain it better, because I feel like I know how to explain it, but I don't. And it's like, basically, I've seen a lot of, you know, men in general that like love bigger women and stuff like that, but the second she's like too big or her weight isn't evenly distributed amongst her body, like her thighs, her arms, her stomach, her chest, whatever, her booty, her like everything else, like literally all of her body is like all equally 50-50-50 evenly fat distributed, or like thickness, quote, how people want to say thickness isn't evenly distributed, they're like, oh my god, no, she's not the one, whatever. Or it's like either, quote, too much. It's so weird to me, bro. But nonetheless, I'm not going to speak on something I don't know too well. I don't want to speak over voices that deserve to be heard rather than mine, you know? But that's how I see it. And it's just never ending to me. It's like, I feel like it just never ends, an endless loop, an endless cycle. It's like we move forward when it comes to body image, body dysmorphia. And I feel like as a society, as, you know, women being part of the society, it's like, I feel like the second we move forward and advancing and proving to the world, especially the patriarchy, that we are so much more than bodies in life and bodies of society, physically speaking. And I feel like once we get to a certain point where we can be like, oh, let's say that we can, you know, allow bigger women to be more empowered, we allow bigger women to be models in the public eye, seen more. But the second we advance to that level, which we have, there's always the downsides behind the scenes. It's like, oh, well, she's too big, or she's too thick, or she's not the way we're looking for, she's not the model we're looking for, etc. We take 10 steps back. And that's my issue. Then that's how body dysmorphia amongst women forms. It starts off that way. You push really hard, we push as a society really hard, as women especially, and boom, you take 10 steps back the second a model, like model agent, is like, you're too big though. She's not what we're looking for. You're not what we're looking for. Maybe if you lost like 10 pounds, you'd be perfect. Then the body dysmorphia begins. Then the eating disorders begin. And so much more above and beyond that. So there's my point. That's essentially what I mean to say. It's a problem. You would think that there's a solution to this, but it never seems to be that way. Like, we find a solution, and then somebody tears down the solution with, like, nitty-gritty details and being microaggressive in that. And then all of a sudden, it's, like, completely torn down. And so are women in that process as well, by the way. So, it's just a big, giant sigh. It's just a big, giant sigh that I can just let out and be like, huh, whatever. But another concept is body dysmorphia versus the male gaze. Now, I know a lot of y'all are about to be real mad at me. Men, I'm talking to you, but it must be said. Men continuously preach how they love, quote, natural women. But you guys really don't. I mean, some of them really do, but to an extent, and here's why. Men, you love women that are naturally, or quote, natural, and natural women. But the second she's not naturally skinny or thick to a certain extent in your eyes, oh, it's apparently, oh, she's too much. Like, men only love naturally. No, actually, no. Why did I say naturally? That's not the, like, grammatical correct word. Men love natural women that are naturally thick or what they perceive as like acceptable in their eyes. Y'all don't love natural women. Y'all don't. To some extent, y'all do. But then again, it depends on one's point of view as well. I just... body dysmorphia versus the female gaze is, or the male gaze is just quite... it's like a lot. Because it's a lot to unpack. Because it's like... men are like, I love natural women. And then the second... she's like, too thick. Too big. She's like... and they're like, ew. I mean, that's cute and all, but nah, not for me, you know? But at the same time, though, body dysmorphia versus the male gaze, I feel like, stems very much from early adolescence for women, you know? The needing to look good for a man kind of look, you know? And I'm not saying that looking good for a man is a bad thing, and here's why. You can look good for a man you like. That's different. Versus looking good in general for men to like you and like please like and probably like, you know, reach out to you and stuff like that. There's a big difference, because if you are like part of the male gaze and you are appealing to the male eye, that and then you're single, I feel like that's more of like, quote, you know, tearing down to the female side of things. But if you're in a relationship or whatever, and you want to look good for the man you're with, that's totally fine. That's totally normal, you know? But the female gaze versus why do I keep saying female gaze? Oh my God. The male gaze versus body dysmorphia is that women are taught to appeal to the man's eye. And the second we don't, it's a problem. And I promise y'all, every time I go out with my girlfriends, I promise y'all, I am not looking hot for men. I am looking hot because I never get to dress up. I literally never leave my house unless it's for work or dance. It's like the only time I leave my house. And you think I'm really gonna put on a cute little bodycon dress for a man? Nah, bro. I'm doing it so I can shake some ass comfortably. That's why. But I digress. I digress. I'm too tired right now. I can feel myself getting tired, and I already took a nap today, so there's that. Interesting how that works, but nonetheless, let's get this shit on the rope. Next thing is body dysmorphia versus your cycle and your period. Now, for my baddies that bleed, this one's for us. This one's for us, y'all. I've been waiting for this one. I've been waiting for this one. The menstrual cycle. I hate that bitch so much. I cannot tell you. I'm like entering my PMS sadness era. I was so sad today. I was like, damn. My PMS sadness era has begun for the week. Here we go. Here we fucking go. Let's go, I guess. And so I've always wondered, because I've mentioned a couple times before that I've never really learned about my own menstrual cycle until the pandemic, if I'm being completely honest. I feel like my health class in college, or no, in high school, did not teach the menstrual cycle, like, not once, not twice, not ever. And I never really knew how much the menstrual cycle played such a role in one's life. And you would think it's like, no shit, bitch. It's like literally a monthly thing. Like, how do you not know this? Honestly, you would think of all the money my parents, like, spent for me to go to a Catholic private high school, you would think that they at least had better health classes. But they don't. And I feel like there's so many, like, facts that are wrong. Like, not wrong, but, like, either extended or not. I feel like the common myth is, like, oh, like, sperm can live up to in the side of the body, like, for 3 to 5 days. And then some say 5 to 7 days. It's like, dude, like... how many days then? I've been hearing 3 to 5 for quite some time. I've been hearing 5 to 7 for quite some time as well. Like, I feel like I've been hearing them interchangeably. I'm like, okay, so what the fuck is the answer? Is it 3 to 5 business days or is it 5 to 7 business days? Which is it? Essentially, is it like half a week or is it a full week? That's what I would like to know. But no one can ever clarify that for me. So I'm over this. I really am. And I feel like a lot of other baddies that, you know, menstruate, we're all trying to figure out what's true and what's not. And I feel like there are new stats coming out every single day that I never knew about the menstrual cycle and how it affects us all. And I feel like we all are different. Like, we literally go through phases in the menstrual cycle. We go through phases every single month from ovulation to, from your period to ovulation to PMS and everything else in between that. And it all comes down to how it affects one's life. And believe me, once I feel myself getting annoyed by, like, literally every single nitty-gritty detail of life, that's when I know I'm in PMS mode. That's when I know. And then when I start feeling like I need to, like, get railed on a balcony and I, like, will die if that doesn't happen to me, then I know I'm ovulating. It's weird, bro. It's so weird. And so I've noticed for quite some time that I get hungrier before my period, like the luteal phase, which is like the phase before your period. It's like PMS and luteal, like, kind of collab together essentially. And according to Healthline, I've been wondering, like, do I gain more weight? Because I've always wondered that, and I knew for quite some time, but if y'all didn't know, so according to Healthline, is weight gain normal on one's menstrual cycle? During your period, it's normal to gain 3 to 5 pounds that go away after a few days of bleeding. It's a physical symptom of PMS, or premenstrual syndrome. PMS includes a wide range of physical, emotional, and behavioral symptoms that affect women several days to 2 weeks before their period. These symptoms are caused by the hormonal changes and fluctuations during the menstrual cycle. PMS is very common. More than 90% of women who menstruate experience PMS. And so, it sucks. Because I already have body dysmorphia as it is, and then on top of that, I gain a couple pounds before my period. That's like a double homicide right there. It's like I'm going through hell during that time, for real. I'd be looking in the mirror, like, sobbing. I'm like, oh my god, why? It's so annoying. It really is. It's so annoying. And so I will leave that as well below the Healthline overview of, like, why it happens, what can cause it, and all that jazz, of course. And at first, I never knew that women can gain weight during PMS, but I felt it in my body. I get hungrier personally. I don't know if that happens to anyone else. I get way hungrier before my period, and I eat like crazy, bro. I be eating like dinner. Then I have like a little bagel or something, or like a piece of bread, or just whatever snack I can find. Because usually with me, I like to buy snackies that I go throughout my day, or not leftovers, but I just like to buy like some goodies throughout my couple weeks, like a few times a week. I'm more of a savory kind of person, so I kind of lean more towards like savory foods, savory snacks. I like to make popcorn on my own at home. It's so much easier than just buying it. And so I will be eating dinner, whatever dinner it is. It could be pasta, it could be some protein in there, whatever it is, it can be anything. Then I have a little snacky. Sometimes I make some popcorn, and then I have like a giant bowl of it, and then I have trouble shitting because popcorn kernels do not digest very well in the body. And it sucks, man. It's really hard. It's really, really hard. And then I also have always felt heavier on my period. And I know a lot of personal trainers, a lot of people say, oh, you shouldn't work out on your period. Too bad, bitch. Too fucking bad. I am so sick and tired of hearing people like, you need to rest on your period. You need to take some time. Well, is my life gonna rest while I'm at it? No. Not once have I ever rested on my period, let alone the weeks prior to that. Not once. I have a life to live, bitch. My life is on go-go mode. I'm a commuter. I have shit to do. I'm tired of people being like, just rest on your period. Dude, do you think that anyone can, really? No one has time to rest when it comes to their period. Bitch, I know I'm tired, but at the same time, it's like, what am I supposed to do about it? It's not like life is going to stop just because I'm bleeding. Life never does that. If life stopped, gave me a time off or something, it's like, you know what? Take the week off for your monthly cycle, babe. We want you to do that. If that's how life worked, if my life could just take a pause every month for a week on my period, then sure. But that doesn't happen, bro. That doesn't happen. So I'm tired of you little bitches saying, you need to rest on your period. You need to, like, be in bed on your period. No, bitch. No. Go fuck yourself. No. I'm tired of gynos saying that. I'm tired of people advertising that. If you want to be that type of person, go ahead. If you have even the leniency and the privilege to actually rest on your period, then please take it. I would love to know what that feels like. My life does not stop when my pussy is bleeding. Now, no. When that shit is bleeding, I'm doing my life as usual. I'm tired of people saying that you shouldn't do it. Okay, then you take my work and my dance and all of that for me. Take my classes, take my dance classes and training, and also take my job. Take my spot. See how that feels. Maybe then I can rest at that point, but that never happens, bro. There are no days off for me personally when it comes to my period. Fuck you. No. And besides, I feel lazy that I'm not exercising on my period because I'm in pain. Hello, bitch. I can pop 2 ibuprofens, Tylenol, acetaminophen, whatever the fuck it's called, the painkiller, over-the-counter painkiller. All I gotta take is 2 of those bitches and I'm out. So even though they don't work as well, but I feel like coping with the cramps is me exercising. That's how my body works. Yes, I am one of those psychotic people that works out on her period and actually feels better. I don't know how, but I don't know why. It just helps. Especially if you do ballet, me personally, I feel like it helps a lot more because I'm like stretching every muscle and inch of my body. It just feels so good. I don't know why. I don't know what's in it. It's like crack for real. But that's just me, man. That's just me. But I do feel heavier when I am working out. Trust me, man. I've been dancing for quite some time. I know when I feel heavier. And when I'm like on one leg, which I'm going to be tomorrow in the morning. I'm very, very lazy. Not going to lie. But when I'm balancing, engaging all my muscles and core, and every inch of my body is engaged, I can feel it when I'm PMSing and also on my period itself that I am feeling heavier. I can feel my leg is heavier. I can feel that lifting myself is so much harder. I feel so much heavier. It's so stressful because, like, on ovulation, I feel like, whoop, I feel like a little feather. I feel as light as a feather, bro. It's crazy. It's crazy how it's true. I never knew it was, but that's how body dysmorphia and the menstrual cycle work. You gain a couple pounds. Me, for example, I've been feeling off in my body, and my body dysmorphia is telling me I feel off. And I look in the mirror, and especially since I'm getting my period very soon, shout out all my PMS baddies right now. I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm also like, oh my god. Oh my god. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. My body dysmorphia, because my stomach isn't skinny right now. It's horrible. It's not fun. It's very hard, which brings me to my final point, body dysmorphia versus exercise. I feel like for all of my gym rats, for all of my workout baddies, I feel that body dysmorphia comes from prior to you starting your workout journey, whatever that looks like for you, during your workout journey, and even after. It never ends. It never ends. Like, suéltame. For real. Before I started working out of any kind, body dysmorphia. When I started working out and actually seeing results, which took quite some time, body dysmorphia. And currently, body dysmorphia. Never ends, man. You will never see peace when it comes to exercising and body dysmorphia. Because the second you look somewhat off and or, quote, not how you want to look for the day, it's game over. Especially for my baddies that menstruate, your body does change. You gain a couple pounds, even though it goes away after, like, the period. Doesn't matter. That shit's so annoying. Because you're hungrier and you want more food and you need to feed yourself because you're preparing to, like, release blood, bro. I don't know how many of y'all know, but it's bad. Like, you need to stay hydrated for that. You are releasing body fluids from your body. A couple pints, if you will, depending on how your flow. There are some women that really have the heaviest flow ever, and they are dropping pints of blood out of them, like, monthly. You guys can look this up. Like, it's scary, but it's also very real. Like, you are supposed to be caring for yourself. during that. And I know a lot of us don't, because it's not easy, because we have lives to live, we have jobs, we have careers, we have school, we have obligations and everything else in between. But the second you look off in some capacity in your body, depending on your menstrual cycle or not, it's really stressful. You're like, oh, and I also have to deal with this on top of this? Nah, it's horrible. It's so horrible, man. Oh. I just popped my melatonin and I was also very thirsty. I had to take a sippy of water. But my point, I don't know how many of y'all need to hear me say this, and I know y'all are about to be real mad at me, but it must be said. Working out just to look good is a common goal for most people. A lot of women especially. But I feel like it's a predominantly like everyone. And that's okay. That's not a problem. And that's not a crime to want that. However, though, if that is your only goal, it gets unhealthy. I would know. I remember I started working out when I was like 14. That was my, I've mentioned this prior on my first episode ever. I've been working out since I was 14 on and off. Doing different kinds of workouts, gym, HIIT, almost did CrossFit, and dance was always part of that routine. I've always been dancing for quite some time. On and off as well. So dance and my gym were pretty much my predominant form of exercise. And I did have PTs. I've had at least a total of 4 PTs in my life from 2 different gyms. So I'm quite experienced in the whole realm of PT and also just exercise as a whole. And when I tell you I predominantly only worked out to look good, that was it. It did not work for me. I did not succeed. I saw no results. But then I started working out when it came to dance and taking it more seriously and actually seeing the value of everything in between, from the pliés to the depths of contemporary dance. I valued it more, and I showed up not only for myself, but how it feels after. People call me crazy for waking up at the crack of dawn to go to dance every few days. And I don't fucking care, man. I'm in shape, and I love it, and I still have a lot to learn. I feel like even now, I feel like since I've been kind of in a slump for quite some time, when it comes to my exercise regime, I feel like there's always room for improvement. There's always room to come back from, you know? But at the same time, if the only goal for working out for yourself is to just look hot, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because it's not. But I promise you, if you slip one day and your only goal was to look hot at the gym and look hot in general on a daily basis, which can be a goal, it can be a goal, but not the number one goal. But if your only number one priority and only goal for the gym and working out is to look good at all times, I promise you that is not enough. Just how everyone thinks that and everyone says looks fade, yeah, believe me, that also applies in this situation. If you are working out and you don't feel that connection and like how good it feels after, sure, your muscles are sore, sure, you are exhausted, or sometimes you feel really charged up. Me personally, every time I come out of dance row, I am just ready to ice my knees and start my day. I'm ready to be like, all right, let's go. I feel good. I got that sweat in, and that's all that matters. If you are feeling exhausted, by the way, after a workout of any kind, you're doing it wrong. And I feel like we're all guilty of this, me included. It also has to do with the amount of sleep you get. If I don't sleep before dance, I promise you, I will do so bad. I've done that before. I stayed up until like 1 a.m. one time. The night before, I had to be up at like 4 a.m. and it took so many hits on me. I was like messing up every combination. I was not in my balancing. I was not feeling my balances enough. I wasn't staying as long as I should have when I should have. And prioritizing your body and exercise are very important, but please don't lose sight of the changes you see, because the changes can be good. But also, people do look at you differently. There are always going to be those comments that are like, oh my god, you've lost so much weight, you look so beautiful. Or you've gained so much weight, it looks so good on you, and stuff like that. or you've gained weight and then you get the negative approach, like, oh, she's gained weight, like, yeah, like, she's not looking too good, you know, like, I feel like there's so many ups and downs when it comes to the, you know, body dysmorphia versus exercise, because it never seems to go away, and I feel like there's never a middle ground with it. So all I want to say, all I want to conclude with in today's episode is that please do whatever you desire to get that body you want and feel good about yourself internally and physically and mentally. That's really all that matters. Taking care of yourself, whatever that looks like for you, honestly, there is nothing wrong with your body. I promise you that. There is nothing wrong with your body, and remember that. Get a tattoo on your fucking forehead. Get a tattoo on your fucking hand and wrist. There is nothing wrong with your body. The only problem in this life that causes body dysmorphia more than ever is appealing to the male gaze and appealing to others and appealing to getting what you want. Because let's face it, skinny models and skinny people are more heard. It's true. People are fat phobic. People are very fat phobic, and which doesn't make any fucking sense to me. But it exists. People are like that. And please don't let bitches like that ruin that for you. If you're feeling yourself, go outside. Go the fuck outside, shake some ass, and get back to me. Thank you all so much for listening. I'm very tired also. But also, I'm very sleepy, and I hope that you all have a lovely rest of your weekend. Whenever you hear this on Sunday, or if you hear it days later, whatever that looks like for you, babe, I hope that you're being very, very chill. I hope everything's going well for you. I hope you get everything you want in this world and more. And I will see you guys next Sunday.